Hi, this is Steve Snowball Sailor, and you're listening to 10 Years of This Week in Geek.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world.
Welcome to the Nerd News Network here on This Week in Geek. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me, as per usual, is Ryan the Unevenflow Merkley. Hello.
As per usual. Jeez.
Well, you've been here for 10 episodes.
We'll get that used to it.
Yes.
I mean, we'll see, but anyway.
Yes, folks, the seeds of the future lie buried in the past. Anyway, really quickly, as always, as we've been doing the last couple of weeks, you guys have about 2 weeks left to get your entries in for our Logitech keyboard contest. You can hear all the details about the contest at the end of the podcast, as always. Mike the Birdman Dodd is not here. He's feeling under the weather. I think the Easter Bunny gave him some bad candy or something. I don't know. But today we've got, this week we've got a bunch of Star Wars stuff to talk about. We've got Transformers, the Last Night trailer to talk about. We've got HasCon, and then whatever the hell else we decide to bring up. So, should we start with the good stuff and then just go to the bad stuff, or should we get the bad stuff out of the way first?
You're the host. What are you looking at me for?
I'm not looking at you. I can't even see you. You're not even here. Anyway, all right, so HasCon is going to be Hasbro's new all-in-one convention in Rhode Island. You've seen that video on Facebook, right?
Yes.
The advertisement? Oh, my God.
Why not just continue to be part of the cons, as in, like, New York and San Diego, mm-hmm. or even the toy shows and that kind of thing? Mm-hmm. It's the equivalent of, I think I've talked about it before, but if I haven't, anyway, it's the equivalent of Netflix was this great idea, and a ton of people signed up and that kind of thing, and now every studio wants their own, you know, paid streaming service, so we're getting CBS and Amazon and all these others, and eventually it's just going to become so segmented that they're just going to fail, and someone's going to have to come along and become a conglomerate of all of them again. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not going to happen with the cons. What's going to happen with the cons is Hasbro and these other ones are going to break off. They're going to be way smaller.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, Hasbro might make enough that it's worthwhile, but it's still going to diminish it. I mean, and to be honest, like, if I were to go to a Hasbro convention, for example, all I really care about is the Transformers stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, it's only really as relates to the comic series and the toy line that follows the comic series, which is Generations or Titans Returns or Prime Wars, whatever they're going to be calling it in the future, or by the time the con rolls around. But I don't care about anything else. I don't follow it. So, I mean, why would I pay money to go?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are people that do care about all of it or do want to go just for that one thing. It's just you're not going to get as many eyeballs on it as you would at something like San Diego or New York. Yeah. Although, obviously, there are downsides with those because of the fact that they're just so crowded.
Too large, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not fun.
So, for those that don't know, those that are uninitiated to Hasbro and the last, oh, I don't know, 20-some-odd years with their officially unofficial convention, BotCon. Yeah, it was an official convention, but BotCon ended here in Louisville, Kentucky last year. Actually, it was about 6 days ago last year that this. So
BotCon being the Transformers convention. By
yes,
the way.
Yes.
Should probably mention that if they don't know what BotCon is.
Yeah, well, hopefully they will. You know, so BotCon was the Transformers convention for Hasbro. It moved around several years. There were several years where it was just in Rhode Island, where Hasbro is located. But most of the time, it's moved around. The last 10 years since the first live action movie, usually every live action movie year, it's been out in Pasadena. And they said, "Okay, Fun Pub, we're not renewing your license next year." So BotCon's dead. JoeCon, I think JoeCon is dead too, right?
I believe so.
I could be wrong on that one. I don't know. But BotCon essentially is dead. And Hasbro now is like, hey, let's do a HasCon. Let's combine all... It's Transformers, My Little Pony, and God knows how... There's like four or five other franchises that they list in the video that they put on Facebook. And you're right. Like... Why am I going to go to a convention? Look, everyone has other interests other than Transformers, but the whole point of wanting to go to a Hasbro convention for most of us, that is, you know, officially their convention, was the Transformers. I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of My Little Pony fans out there. Mike Dodd, I know you're listening and everything else, but it just, I'm sorry. I don't hear a lot about My Little Pony conventions. I don't hear that there's an official My Little Pony convention out there. Transformers had BotCon for, like I said, almost 20 years or more at this point.
Yeah, like I said, I think they're going to draw well. I just don't know, yeah, if they're going to draw as much as BotCon, which drew, like, fairly significant crowds. And now yep. The TFCons, which are going to expand, are drawing, like, significant numbers. Yeah, there's something about it being dedicated, and also I think it's just kind of weird that each of the Hasbro brands is a little disparate. I mean, despite Hasbro trying to link them in the comics.
In the shared universe, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know how much rollover there is between, you know, Transformers, My Little Pony, G.I. Joe, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, Transformers and G.I. Joe has a little bit of rollover, because there was that whole comic series that IDW did. Transformers versus G, like that.
I don't mean that. I mean in terms of the fandom.
Yeah.
The other issue with that is, to be blunt, Transformers is a lot more visible than G.I. Joe's been.
That's very true.
Like at one point they were kind of neck and neck, but now Transformers is a lot bigger than either of those. Now I don't like the form it's taken for that, but anyway, it's still, you know, larger the two. It's like having a Marvel characters. Convention merged with an Image Comics characters convention. And that's not a knock against Image Comics, which I love, but I'm just saying, like, one of them is a little more well-known than the others.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So HasCon, and the other thing is the fact that it's going to be in Rhode Island, you know, their home state, their hometown, thing like that, where the headquarters of the company is. How many people every year are going to travel from California or Arizona or wherever? Like, going from Florida to Rhode Island is nothing. Going from Georgia to Rhode Island is nothing. But how many people are going to travel across the country for a convention that's all-inclusive?
Yeah, I mean, that's the issue. The other thing is, too, I mean, there's only so much time you can dedicate to all these conventions and that kind of thing, too, so...
That's the other thing. You look at BotCon, it generally, depending on your package, depending on your Primus package or whatever package you bought at the time, BotCon normally is 3 days, Friday to Sunday. But if you bought a package where you could get the early access, which I think early access was... Some years it was Wednesday and Thursday, but other years it was just Thursday. So that's essentially anywhere between 3 to 5 days for just Transformers. Now, how are you going to do that and be able to fit all of those other fandoms into, let's just say, a 3-day weekend convention? There's no way. Like, this is going to be a nightmare, I think.
I didn't just mean for them either. I just meant for the average fan, that kind right. of thing. If you have your choice of going to this or going to New York or San Diego or PAX or whatever, like, you can only go to so many conventions.
Yeah.
Again, like, a very, you know, unless you're really interested in one of these franchises, you're probably best off to go to one of the other ones. Because, like you said, not everybody is just interested in, you know, one thing.
Yeah.
Presumably they have other interests. Well, if you're interested in Star Wars, you're interested in Marvel Comics or whatever, HasCon's not going to be for you. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for me at this point, as long as they get to keep doing what they're doing, if I was going to go to a Transformers... I always wanted to go to BotCon. Now, I say BotCon was here in Louisville, Kentucky last year. I didn't actually go to the actual convention part of it because I heard it was not that great of a convention itself. But I did go to the Stan Bush Vince DiCola concert that was out at our entertainment district down here. But if I was going to go to a Transformers convention now, it would be one of the TF cons. It really would be, because I know Proto Man. I've podcasted with him for years, and we used to do, like, you know, hey, a TFCon pre-podcast and a TFCon post-podcast, thing like that, and everything else. So it's just one of those things where if I want a Transformers convention only, I would probably head that way before.
The TFCons are great, and they're actually helped by the fact that they're not official, which means that third party and a lot of the fan constructed items can appear there. So it becomes more of sort of a community thing rather than just a corporate thing. So yeah, I would probably prefer those overall anyway, because, I mean, for a while, Hasbro wasn't super interested in the fan stuff.
Yep, absolutely. So, this is going to kill you, but in brief, before we get into the fifth film, what has been your overall thoughts on the first four Transformers live-action films in the last 10 years?
I mean, the first one is still not bad. I still think it's an enjoyable movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, oh God. Like, the second film's one of the worst movies I've ever seen, and that's saying something. The third movie's actually okay. And then the fourth movie is one of the worst films I've ever seen, and it's impressive that there's two films in the same franchise on that list. I mean, that's tough to do, but it's funny because now the new one as well is clearly following the plot line of the two and four, which was, here's this magical item or person that's never been mentioned before that is suddenly super duper important and then will be forgotten about in the next movie anyway.
Yeah, exactly. They're basically trying to tie Arthurian lore into this, I think. And that's not good. They're intentionally trying to make Optimus Prime a bad guy, which he's been a bad guy since about halfway through the second one. But, I mean, this one... And this whole, you know, my maker, I do, and this, that, and the other thing, and everything else, and his eyes turn purple, and blah, 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 blah. I think what interests me more about this movie at this point is the fact that they finally have an actual child that is looking out for Bumblebee instead of a snarky, stupid-ass, shy of a bitch teenager. Because when... And again, we're both Transformers fans, obviously, folks, but, you know, we've been paying attention to this stuff for the last 30-plus years. When we were kids, Spike wasn't a teenager. Spike was... Maybe he was like 12 or 13, like he was preteen kind of thing. So, you know, but he was a kid almost our age, and he was relatable. And this film franchise is 10 years old, and this, of course, once again, Michael Bay says, "Oh, well, this is my last one. I'm done." Yeah, right. But the trailer, it's all right. All the green stuff, all the field stuff that they kept showing in the trailer reminded me of, you know, when Bane tried to destroy the football stadium in Dark Knight Rises.
I mean, the action, to be blunt, is still crap. I mean, the sequence with Prime cutting off the heads of a whole bunch of enemies is just terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, ugh. That's probably my biggest takeaway from the entire franchise, is the action is just terrible. It runs the gamut of, okay, sometimes it's hard to follow, but to be honest, when it's not hard to follow, it's still not worth following. I mean, there's no form of realism or anything or weight or heft to any of the objects or units or anything in any of these movies, and that's one of the problems with them. I don't care enough to keep going. Honestly, you can make an entire show about what's wrong with these movies. And I mean, it starts from the plots are all terrible. There's no characterization. There's no characters. They're all just the exact same film copied over and over again.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that. I actually know a guy who is trying to come up with a way to rewrite this franchise for a podcast idea he has. But anyway, all right, on to the good stuff. Star Wars, yay! So this past weekend was Star Wars Celebration. One of the things I noticed that came out of it, outside of the new Last Jedi trailer and the tributes to Carrie Fisher, was the fact that Star Wars comic books for younger readers are coming to IDW Publishing. So Disney Licensed Publishing and IDW combined forces for an all-new, all-ages Star Wars comic series. What are you laughing at?
Time for the Jedi to end.
Having said that, I should be laughing at the cover, because I mean, they combine all the generations into one, but yeah. I mean, they don't have Han Solo with a hole in his chest or half a Darth Maul, or you know, some of these characters died fairly gruesomely, I would think, for young audiences.
Yeah, but they're doing something that brings the whole universe together. Well, yeah, Han is there.
No, he doesn't have a hole in his chest.
Okay, yeah.
Post-bridge, well, Han Solo. Post-airplane, Harrison Ford. Oh, I'm going to hell. Anyway.
yes, you are.
Yeah, hey. It's not exactly Poe Dameron, what can I say?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it looks like everybody's going to be here for the most part. And I like that. I think that's fun. I think that regardless of...
It's probably going to be anthology stories, which yeah. I think is a really good idea. So,
well, when I saw this news, I'm like... Because, as I've said before in the show, I get emails for press releases from IDW because I'm on their press list. And I saw this and I'm like, wait, what? What about Marvel? Why... Disney owns Marvel and Disney owns Star Wars. Why isn't Marvel doing this? But hey, I'm all for an IDW Star Wars thing, really. So part of this is Lucasfilm is thrilled to expand our relationship with the talented and creative folks at IDW to bring Star Wars comics to kids, said Michael Siglain, creative director of Lucasfilm Publishing. IDW has an incredible pedigree of talent, and we look forward to working with them on the creation of these fun, action-packed adventures that span the entire Star Wars saga. Launch title, Star Wars Adventures, is timed for a fall 2017, and will be a part of Journey to Star Wars The Last Jedi publishing program. Which apparently will release an exciting array of content leading up to the next cinematic chapter in the ongoing space saga. I think this is going to be fun. I think it's going to be interesting. As I said before, I was shocked that it was IDW, but just moving past that, I think the art style on the cover is interesting. They have not announced creative teams. It says that they'll announce those at a later date. So I'm wondering who they're going to get to write it, because I believe it was you that praises Jason Aaron's on the Star Wars comic. Well, you praise him in general, but I think it was you.
Yeah, Aaron's Star Wars is solid. Okay. Aaron's everything is generally quite good. But right. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a freelancer. I mean, he could, but I doubt. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he's. He's never written anything for or that could be aimed at kids before.
No. That's funny. So yeah, that's going to be interesting. And we, as I said before, we also saw the Last Jedi trailer. It looks damn good.
I'm not going to trash it or anything like that, like but, some people have. But I mean, I don't know. It's not. I don't know, it just didn't do much for me. The quick cuts and that kind of thing. Having said that, I'm more of a fan of that versus the particularly current trend of let's give away everything in the trailers. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, it's still, I don't know. Like I said, it didn't do a lot for me. But having said that, I mean, myself and pretty much everybody else were going to go see this anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really matter. It doesn't have to do an awful lot or be something, you know, super special or spectacular, that kind of thing. And I think, you know, it's almost becomes just sort of a reminder, and that's fine. I mean, that's almost to a certain extent what trailers should be. I mean, this idea of releasing a teaser trailer, you know, 5 years before the movie's going to come out or something like that is kind of annoying. Batman, Superman, I'm looking at you.
That's you stole my line. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's so, I mean, this works a little better. It hasn't been that long, you know, 2015 since we had the last Star Wars film.
Yeah.
So
Force Awakens was 2015, and then last year was Rogue One. I mean, Rogue One technically is a prequel film kind of thing, but Disney is really ramping up the Star Wars stuff, I think. They're really keeping it in the forefront of all of our minds. I like the trailer. I think it's interesting. I'm hoping to God that this is not just trailer voiceover from Mark Hamill and he actually has lines in the damn film this time, because that was one of my biggest complaints about The Force Awakens. He's in it for all of less than a minute and a half and he says nothing. I get that was the point of it, but
it's fine. At least it wasn't 10 minutes of Roman Reigns standing there getting booed.
Hey!
What?
It's not his fault!
Oh, for Roman? Anyway.
Yeah.
I expect it's going to turn out. One of the funnier tweets I saw about it was somebody speculating that the title of the next film should be released and it should just say, lol, JK, actually way more Jedi.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, are they going to turn Luke dark here? Because wasn't it him that said no more Jedi at the end of it?
I doubt they would.
I don't know. Yeah. But no, I'm very excited for it. I think it's going to be fun, as all Star Wars stuff has been fun recently. And then there's, I'm not into the video games, but you can talk about this. Then there was the Battlefront trailer, the Star Wars Battlefront trailer.
Yeah, Battlefront 2, which the trailer showed off, a single-player mode, which the original Battlefront didn't have, which was one of the things that was detrimental about it. And then B, the trailer showed off some really great graphics, which the first game did have. But personally, it should be improved by having an actual single-player campaign and story, so I'm hoping that's the case. But, man, Battlefield 1 was just so disappointing. It shipped with very few maps and modes, and in the end, the cost of all of the downloadable content to add more maps and gameplay modes to the multiplayer was the exact same cost of the actual game. So if you didn't buy a season pass or something like that, you were essentially paying $60 twice. Now, having said that, the game came down in price reasonably quickly. But, yeah, just, I don't know. The first game wasn't great. It was not balanced particularly well at all, to the point that your starting weapons, you were about as well off with them as anything else. This is prior to any downloadable content and that kind of thing. But that was an issue. The lack of variety was easily the biggest issue, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Again, improved a lot through the different map packs and game modes, but I shouldn't have to pay a boatload of money to complete a game, which I realize is sadly the trend, but...
Yes.
Not a huge fan. I mean, we'll see how it turns out. In terms of Star Wars games, Star Wars games are usually really... Man, I'm mentally going through it and like, No, they're generally quite good. I mean, there's a lot of great ones in there. X-Wing, TIE Fighter, Knights of the Old Republic. But there's some kind of mediocre ones in there, too. But still, I don't know. I mean, I'll wait and see. I hate to jump on the anti-EA bandwagon, but unfortunately it's hard not to, because... they kind of messed up the first one, so I don't know. Until they really pull one off, I'm going to be skeptical of it.
Yeah. I don't know. EA seems to be going downhill these days, unless it's Madden. So.
Don't get me started on the Madden series.
Ladies and gentlemen, come back next week and hear Ryan's ranting on the Madden series. Alright, as I said at the beginning of the show, we are giving away a Logitech G810 Orion Spectrum keyboard. Basically, how to win this is you can email mike@thisweekingeek.net telling us in 140 characters or less why you love, enjoy, can't stop playing the Mass Effect franchise. The deadline for the contest is next Sunday at 5 p.m., so you've only got until April 23rd at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to get in your emails and tell us why you love Mass Effect, and we will be giving it away next week. So hopefully Mike is actually here next week. So that's what's going on with the contest. We do have a couple of entries, according to Mike, so... chances are fairly good that somebody's going to win this thing right off the bat, so who knows. Other things that are going to be coming up, we've got the April topic show that we'll be recording, Where the Hell Were You in 1992, basically talking about where we all were 25 years ago, where we were living, how old we were, what cartoons or movies or whatever we were watching, or what we remember from that time, or what we don't remember from that time. Or the fact that we ended up living in a never-ending story. So there's that. So that's what else is going on with Twig. Hopefully Nerd News will get some more hosts at some point. As I said last time...
And they'll fire me. I can dream.
No. Well, we'd have to pay you in order to fire you.
Yeah, I suppose.
So, hopefully we'll be getting some guests on in the near future for Nerd News. And, yeah, I think that's going to do it this week.
The only other thing I wanted to bring up is all the Marvel Netflix stuff that came out the past week.
Oh, just that's
a couple
right.
notes. There was a casting call /... Well, yeah, it's basically just the casting call for Jessica Jones season 2 that the Hashtag Show got their hands on. Nothing too interesting there. Also, it's somewhat difficult since, of course, for these, they always change the names and that kind of thing. So it's hard to tell, you know, if there's anybody notable to comics in there.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to release that kind of thing early on, so... although it is interesting that they've got like 1-year deals and that kind of thing listed, which I kind of figured that, you know, if they're going to off a character or have them leave or whatever, it'd be 1-year deals.
Yeah.
The other note was there's a bunch of set pictures from Marvel's The Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
This time showing John Bernthal in full sort of Punisher garb, complete with the skull on the chest. Has a flak jacket, which is a nice touch.
Yeah, it's better than that fan-made poster. You saw that, didn't you? The bullets.
Yes.
We talked.
Yeah,
we
poster's
talk...
pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Actual set picks and that thing.
Although, absolutely.
Again, it's not scheduled till, I keep hearing, November. We'll see if that's when it actually comes out.
Do we have a date on Jessica yet or no?
No. Like I say, they're just doing casting, so they haven't even started filming yet.
Wow.
Although, to be fair, it doesn't take all that long to film. I mean,
no.
For example, in terms of The Punisher, it's supposedly just finished this week. And it comes out in November, so that's not a super long turnaround.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. That could be cool. But yeah, no, I'm loving the Marvel Netflix stuff. Very, very awesome. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with the Punisher story.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of ways to screw up the Punisher. It's been done a number of times in comics and on film and TV, so...
Yeah.
He's not an easy character to write for, mostly because he falls into one-dimensional character when he's not written well. Same sort of thing happens with the Hulk. The Hulk can very easily become a one-dimensional character, so...
Yeah, I mean, just look at us last week. He's a friend from work!
Yeah, like, there's a reason I think that, you know, Hulk films, we haven't gotten a really great Hulk starring role film so far. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a reason why, A, that hasn't happened, and B, Marvel's not really interested at this point in trying again. And it's not because the Hulk's a bad character, it's just he's really difficult to write really well for, so...
Yeah, I mean, they've had two tries already, and this is before, obviously, Marvel took it over, but in the past, you had...
Well, the first one was. The second one was...
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah. The first one wasn't. The second one was.
Ang Lee's masterpiece.
Yeah. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Hulk, that's all that was. And then the second one they tried, but again, they had the wrong guy in there as Banner / the Hulk, I think. But that's just my personal opinion. And like we said last week, you know when we talked about the Thor stuff, do I want to see a Hulk solo film? Does the general audience need to see a Hulk solo film? And if so, is it going to be another origin story? Because, I mean, we've essentially, between Avengers and everything else that has come from Avengers, we pretty much have the Mark Ruffalo Hulk story, origin story, done, set, and whatever. We don't need another one. So,
they used clips from The Incredible Hulk, like the Ed Norton film,
mm-hmm.
as part of that. So, I mean, that's still part of continuity, not to mention General Ross reappears in Civil War. So, I mean, that's still his origin, but...
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing a Mark Ruffalo-led Hulk. It might be different. I'd be curious.
Yeah, it would be different, but I don't want to see an origin. I want to see...
Even if they reboot the Hulk or something in X number of years, I don't really need to see the origin again. It's the same idea with... You know, one of the many things that I didn't like about Batman Superman, I don't need to see Batman's goddamn origin again. Everybody knows how he became Batman. There is no point to having that sequence in the film. Hmm. And, you know, Spider-Man's going to be the same way. It doesn't seem like we're going to get, you know, an Uncle Ben origin in Spider-Man Homecoming. For the love mm-hmm. of God, I hope we don't, just because, like I said, same sort of deal. Everybody knows how Spider-Man became Spider-Man. We really don't need to see it again. Even the average housewife knows these stories. And that's the comparison I always make, is the average housewife didn't know who Iron Man was, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Now, they quite likely, there's a decent chance they do.
Yeah.
But the average person knows, you know, how Bruce Wayne decided to become Batman.
Yeah. And the thing of it is didn't we kind of already get the Tom Holland's Spider-Man origin in Civil War? I mean, kind of. I mean, he gets introduced there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, we're at a point now in Marvel's history where, and I know this is Sony Marvel, whatever, with Homecoming, but we're at a point now in Marvel's history, if Marvel is going to put Spider-Man in their own damn movie and sit there and say, well, this is what happened, Uncle Ben's no longer here, and this is what put Peter on the path of Spider-Man, that's really all we really need, and that's really all we've already gotten. So, again, you know, and I get it, most, you know, like you said, most housewives didn't know who Iron Man was until the first movie, and that's all well, good, and fine, but, you know, most of the general public, most people that have been seeing these movies for years and years and years, most people know who the Hulk is. They may not know the specific particulars of his origin.
Well, that's why, yeah, I include them separately. Like, the Hulk is one that I think a lot of people, partially because that was, you know, he was pretty big in the 60s and that kind of thing. I think there's a generational thing that, that they at least have some idea. And it's raised in pop culture a lot. Iron Man didn't appear in, you know, pop culture and that kind of thing until really recently. And I think that's the difference, is that, you know, Uncle Ben is seeped into pop culture references as well. So,
yep. Absolutely. All right, folks, we're going to get the heck out of here. Join us next week when Mike will be back. We will be announcing the winner of the Logitech G810 keyboard and all that good stuff. And we'll catch you next time here on Nerd News on This Week in Geek.
For my world to live, yours must die.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Remember, kids, buy pizza, pay with snakes.
What's your social media business card? My fist.
Just give me a big box of beef.
Don't give them ideas.
Don't forget our other twig project, GeorgeLucasHasLostHisMind.com.
Does Jesus have Matrix powers?
I think the Pillsbury Doughboy's albino.
I'd like to see a cat on Tourette's.
That's the moment I give up on life. Because then I don't know what to believe in anymore. When the Amish start twittering, I'm done.
Can we leave this subject alone?
Hello.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh no.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm confused. As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear Kyle Hebert say...
Today, the world. Tomorrow, the universe. Next week, my chiropractor. Oy, my back.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment about this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can also call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202 or email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by PerpetualEmotionMachine.ca. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender.